I was a little late because I was trying to finish the homework, but I couldn't because some of the papers were submitted late. So I'm just going to return the ones that were submitted on time, and I'll return the other ones maybe Sunday morning after supper. And I also thought that of giving the exam on Tuesday. So you can hand in your homework for the past week as soon as you can, even before Monday, so I can see it, and then, or even Monday, and I'll try to return it early, a little before the exam, so you can see the comments. Now, also to help you, I've made a list of the important verses covering the different topics that we have discussed day by day. And if you know the concepts explained in the verses, then you'll have the basic idea of the day's topic. And I've put asterisks beside 9 of the verses. This covers all the 18 days. So I've put asterisks by 9 of the verses, which are especially for your preaching, for your practicing of Krishna consciousness, and for your doing well on the exam. So we'll pass these out. And if, especially the ones with asterisks, that two you should know in transliteration. Jive Swarupai Krishna Nityadas. And Anyavilasa Tasunya. And if possible, you should learn some of the others in the transliteration. Definitely, you should learn some. So we'll pass this out at the end. And if anyone has homework, you can. One point from the homework is about Sambandha, Avideya, and Prayojana. So who can explain what the three terms mean?
Sambandha is our relationship with the Supreme Lord, as well as his understanding of his Shaktis and his Jiva. And Avideya is the process or the means by which we attain or develop that relationship, awaken that relationship. And then the Prayojan is to develop love for Krishna.
So what is the relationship? Sambandha means relationship, so what is the relationship?
A servant Krishna.
Jiva is sweet.
Yeah. Some people think that they are servant until they become Krishna, or merge with Krishna. So eternal servant is very important. Srila Prabhupada said we're personalists to the end. Actually, there is no end. Krishna consciousness. And then what is Abhideya? Abhideya means the process by which one achieves the goal. So what is the process?
Sambandha.
Yes.
Dr. Deepak.
Devotional service of the yoga. And what is the goal? No. Not Krishna. Krishna prema. Because when one gets Krishna prema, one automatically gets Krishna, because Krishna comes under the control of prema. So prema is actually superior to Krishna. So we want prema. Get Krishna automatically. Now, coming to the definition of uttama bhakti, what is the verse in Sanskrit? Go outside the etiquette and ask.
Anyam vilashita shunyam janatam maniyam vittam anukuriran krishnanu shiranam bhakti uttamam.
And what is the explanation?
The bhakti has svarupa svarupa and the tataksa lakshana svarupa means krishnana anukuriran Shilanam Bhakti Uttamasya. No, it's not okay. Anu Yena Krishna Anu Shilanam. Like I explained, Anu Shilanam means constant service in favorable to Krishna. And favorable means Anu Yena. This is Svarupa Lakshana, our main quality, and Tathagata Lakshana means that this is Anyam Vilashita Shunyam, that is without material desire. Anyam means another, Avilashita means desire, Shunyam means void or without. And another Tathagata Lakshana is that is not covered by Jnana, karma, adi means etc. It's not covered by philosophical speculation or the primitive world of another things.
Good. What is your name?
Krishna. Yes.
From?
Poland.
Oh. Very good. Now, anushimana means continuous activity or cultivation. Now, with what is the cultivation performed? What do we do the service with?
Body, mind, words.
Body, mind, and word. In sadhana bhakti. In fact, the 64 items of Vaidhisadhana Bhakti are supposed to engage the complete faculties of the living entity, body, mind, and words. And what about when we enter the higher stages and faint in ecstasy? Is that devotional service? What is, how is it devotional service?
We're remembering Krishna at those times. That's what makes us faint. So
yeah.
Remembering Krishna service.
And actually, in the higher stages, the devotee sort of sees Krishna and enters the pastimes of Krishna, which are actually beyond the body, mind, and words. They're beyond the body, mind, and words, but they're still considered bhakti. But that's true, the person remembers, and the intense form of remembrance leads to direct association. Then, how does someone enter into devotional service? Yes, by the mercy of a pure devotee. And how does someone get the mercy of a pure devotee?
By his great fortune.
Yes, by his great fortune. And how does one achieve great fortune?
By his previous pious activities.
Yes, by his previous pious activities. And what kind of pious activities? Yes, devotional service or service to a pure devotee, knowingly or unknowingly. He does some service, and by the accumulation of such service, he becomes fortunate. And when he becomes fortunate, he's able to get the mercy of a Vaishnava or accept the mercy of a Vaishnava. And so when he gets the mercy of a Vaishnava, what happens? What is the beginning of devotional service? Ratani? Shraddha, faith, yes. Because in one sense, although the pure devotee may give the same instructions to so many people, but only the fortunate ones are able to develop faith, and if they develop faith, then they can accept the process.
How in the Adal Shraddha Shloka, the Shraddha comes first before Savasandha?
No. First there is preliminary association with devotees, by which faith and attraction are awakened. Then, after the faith and attraction are awakened, then the person systematically associates with devotees.
If someone performs agata sukriti, is that considered material or spiritual? They perform some devotional activity, let's say they take prasad, but
it's spiritual. It's spiritual. But it's not Uttama Bhakti. Because Uttama Bhakti is a continuous cultivation and is free from other processes. So he might be a karmi and come to the temple for a feast.
Food for life.
Yes, he might come to food for life. And the prasad is spiritual. And by taking the prasad, he makes spiritual advancement. But until he decides to surrender to Krishna and take up the process of devotional service, it's not considered Uttama Bhakti. But it's one of the items of devotional service. So sometimes it's called Sukriti, or Bhakti Yoga Mukha Sukriti, to distinguish it from the same activity which can be done by a pure devotee as part of a systematic effort in devotional service. But the activities are the same. So what is the definition of faith?
When one seeks to perform devotional service, and is engaged in yoga processes.
That may be the symptom of someone who has faith, but what is the faith itself? Believe me.
Trust in something sublime.
Yes, that's true. Yes, but more complete from Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Faith that through through dedicating oneself to Krishna consciousness, any other types of obligations or duties or whatever will be satisfied.
Yeah. both ways, that that all subsidiary activities are performed, which means that the obligations are satisfied and any benefit you could get from any other activity will also be achieved. This is very important to know the definition of faith, Shraddha, because Shraddha is the basis, and if we don't actually have Shraddha, then we can't enter the process.
Maharaj, you said something. Can't faith be described as ability to rest on Him without worries and depend on Him for everything?
Well, when we come to surrender, which we will discuss today, one of the items is to have faith that Krishna will protect us. That's true.
And do whatever necessary, whatever He finds proper for me. I don't need to worry about it. I give Him the power of atonement to do whatever He likes.
Yes, that's also part of the process, that we accept Krishna as our master, our lord, our father, our friend, our guardian. Yeah. But it doesn't say no worries. We may have so many worries.
Only
but not for ourselves. For
only
Krishna's
worries
sake.
That it is not coming soon. Let me just.
You mentioned some other points about faith. But the first one, Krishna Bhakti Kaila Sarvakama Kartama, that is the dominant definition, the most important one.
Yeah. That by engaging in devotional service, all other subsidiary processes are performed, all other achievements that one could get from the other processes will be achieved through devotional service. Now, what are the three degrees of faith, or three types of devotees with three degrees of faith? And what are the descriptions of Uttamadhikari, Madhyamadhikari, and Kanishtadhikari?
Uttamadhikari has fervent faith in Krishna. He accepts the logic from the scriptures.
Yes.
The scriptures.
Yes.
And Madhyamadhikari, he has fervent faith that he's not strong enough to argue.
Well, he can argue, but he may not be able to feed everyone. If someone is very strong in another type of argument, he may not be able to defeat him.
Ask a question about Shraddha.
Yes.
Because according to this definition which we quote with about Shraddha, this is firm, confident faith. But on the beginning, when somebody's on the stage, Shraddha, he's considered Kanishta, and Kanishta is definite. It is said that Kanishta have strong faith. So, Kanishta, this definition apply to Kanishta Adhikari on this platform? Because according to this definition, this is very confident that like this here is said, automatically someone performs all subsidiary activities. Kanishta Adhikari don't have such strong faith, but...
No, he has the same faith. Otherwise he won't be engaged in the process of devotional service. He's engaged in the process of devotional service because he has some amount of the faith as described in the verse. But it can still become stronger. Otherwise he won't there are neophyte devotees who are mixed devotees, But here we're really, when we talk about Uttama Bhakti and Shraddha, this is the Shraddha that we need to begin Uttama Bhakti. And even a neophyte can begin Uttama Bhakti and have enough faith that he can gradually make progress and come to the platform of Madhyamadhikara and finally Uttamadhikara. Like we read the other day from Srila Prabhupada's purport, that even the neophyte devotee who has full faith that the holy name of Krishna is identical to Krishna, he can be considered pure devotee, although neophyte. But sometimes we say neophyte to indicate mixed devotees. Then what you said would apply. Then what you said would apply, that he doesn't have so much faith that he won't engage in other processes. But there are neophyte devotees who have sufficient faith only to engage in devotional service, because there are different degrees of faith all the way along, and at some stage we may say neophyte or intermediate. But it's continuous appreciation.
It's cumulative.
Huh?
Cumulative.
Yeah.
So is it to say, Maharaj, that the neophyte devotee that's described as having full faith, he can also be described as being a madhyam, that he's on the more advanced level of Kanishka?
Yeah. In other words, there can be like Kanista, Kanista, Madhyam Kanista, Uttama Kanista. I mean, it's just, we're giving words to define general stages of progress, but they are gradual. There's gradual growth.
I remember reading one purport where Srila Prabhupada describes the Prakriti Bhakta as not really a Bhakta, but classified as Bhakta, so that those who are actually Bhaktas will associate them.
Yes.
The definition of their services is they're not supposed to associate with non-devotees. So is this the same as Bhakta Abha? Is that the same?
Yes.
So that those Bhakta Prakriti Smita, describing a person who he worships the deity but he doesn't show proper respect.
Yeah.
See, and he's supposed to be on the lowest level of devotion. That's the Kanista Adhikari. Is that a pretty low level of Kanista?
It says he worships the deity with faith. The verse says with faith. See, one classification of Kanista, Madhyam, and Uttama is based on faith. And another classification is based on attraction or love. And the two may not increase at the same rate. So, you know, someone might have more faith. Yeah. Someone might have more attraction and less faith. Throughout devotional service, just like in the stage of sadhana bhakti, there are two qualities. Relief from material distress and auspiciousness. Teshagni and Shubhada. And there are six characteristics of pure devotional service, and two especially appear in the stage of sadhana bhakti. One is kleshagni, which means relief from material distress, and the other is shubhada, which means appearance of auspiciousness. Now, in some devotees, the relief from distress will happen sooner than the bestowal of auspicious qualities, and in others it may be the opposite. Although generally, as one becomes free from sinful reactions, one increases in auspicious qualities, but still the rate of one might be faster than the other. Similarly, when we try to become steady in devotional service, we try to become steady in our bodily activities, in our vocal activities, and in our mental activities. But one might become steady in one's bodily activities first, and then in his vocal activities, then in his mental activities, or maybe not in that order at all. Or he might be steady in spiritual practices, but not in good qualities. Or someone may become steady in some good quality, but not in some spiritual practice. So each person is individual, and his rate of development in one aspect may be faster than his rate of development in another aspect, even though they're in the same general stage of devotional advancement. So here, there's two classifications of Kanistha, Madhyama, and Uttama, one according to faith and one according to attraction and love. But the two may not develop at the same. So one might be more advanced in one calculation than in another calculation. So it's not that the description of a Kanistha in terms of faith will be identical with the description of a Kanistha in terms of devotion.
Explain that an Uttama Nikaya, he is able to defeat any opposing animal. Is there no possibility of an Uttama who actually may be very simple in his devotion, but actually
yes.
And therefore you may not be able to defeat any of those men.
No. Because he is in touch with Krishna. Krishna will give him the intelligence.
According to the Prabhupada, he described to be a very simple man. Before, he was a very rich man, something like that. And he was not known to be very eloquent. I don't think he was so literate. But whenever anybody came to him, no matter with what, he would defeat the sound.
Yeah.
All the purports, imports were there.
Yeah. Like when Maharaj Ambarish was in dilemma about breaking the Ekadasi fast before Durvasa Muni returned, he consulted many learned Brahmins, but they couldn't solve the problem. And he himself solved the problem. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, although he wasn't a learned Brahmin, but because he was a pure devotee, he could understand the solution, whereas the learned Brahmins couldn't. So the pure devotee is given the best intelligence by Krishna. Nadami Gudi Yogam Tam.
It means that if one knows the essence of the scriptures, it's not necessarily like logic in a, you know, reciting verse or know exactly word for word the scriptures, but it's considered to be an Uttama Adhikari. If he knows the essence, he's able to repeat, he's considered an Uttama Adhikari. Even
yes.
If he don't know exactly the scripture word for word or, you know, all the details of the scriptures.
You see, there are Uttama Adhikaris, like the gopis. Are the gopis Uttama Adhikaris? More than. But they may not know the scriptures, they may not be able to defeat people in argument. But here, again, I remind us that we are studying the process of devotional service. We're learning the process of devotional service so that we, as sadhakas, will know how to advance.
In the case of, say, Jiva Goswami, who is Vilas Manjari, is that correct? Mm-hmm. Or someone? Mm-hmm. Then, well, Vilas Manjari, I assume, is a very simple young girl by those standards. But by our standards, Jiva Goswami is just, you know, an astronomical genius. I mean, he's a tremendous genius.
Yes.
So if they're the same person, I just wonder, what does that indicate?
Our Jiva Goswami is Vilas Manjari and Krishna Lila. And Vilas Manjari is Jiva Goswami and Chaitanya Lila. But, so in one sense they're the same person, but in another sense they're not the same person. They have different moods, they have different characteristics. So when Vilasa Manjari is acting as Vilasa Manjari, she may not be able to write the Satsandarbhas, although she's higher or as high as someone who could write the Satsandarbhas. Similarly, when Jiva Goswami is meditating on Radha Krishna's pastimes, and he wants to enter the service of Radha and Krishna, but in the mood of separation he feels that he's not qualified. So he's feeling that that Vilas Manjari is higher than him. He aspires for the position of Vilas Manjari. And this again is the action of Yoga Maya. By the action of Yoga Maya, the same person will have a different mood, a different service.
But is the intellect of Jiva Goswami part of the character of Vilas Manjari, or are they like two personalities in one?
It's sort of a theoretical question, because by the influence of Yoga Maya, Vilas Manjari is very happy to clean the house, make cow dung patties, boil the milk. She's not feeling that she has to go to Benares and learn logic and shastra. Whereas Jiva Goswami, he thought, I must go to Benares and learn. And he studied under one of the greatest scholars in Benares. So I would say potentially Vilas Manjari has as much intelligence as Jiva Goswami. But by the influence of Yoga Maya, she's not thinking of using her intelligence in the same way. She's using her intelligence how to sneak out of the house and help Radha and Krishna to meet and serve them.
So it wouldn't be that when Yoga Maya, the veil of Yoga Maya is lifted from Vilas Manjari's mind or consciousness to some extent, that the intellect of Jiva Goswami would manifest?
No. Both are under Yoga Maya. It's not that Jiva Goswami is the real identity. He's the identity in Chaitanya Lila, and Vilas Manjari is the identity in Krishna Lila. And in Krishna Lila, Yoga Maya acts so that the person thinks that Krishna is a beautiful boy, son of Nanda Maharaj, not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in Jiva Goswami, Yoga Maya works that he doesn't think that he's Vilas Manjari and Krishna Lila. He thinks he's a fallen soul in the material world who has been saved by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami, who's trying to achieve some service in Krishna Lila. So both are under Yoga Maya. And as Keshava Bharati Prabhu said, both are eternal. Because Chaitanya's pastimes are also eternal, like Krishna's pastimes. So Jiva Goswami is eternally playing the same part in Chaitanya's pastimes. Just like Vilas Mandri is eternally playing the same part in Krishna's pastimes. But due to Yoga Maya, Vilas Mandri thinks she's a cowherd's wife. And due to Yoga Maya, Jiva Goswami thinks that he's the younger brother of Rupa and Sanatan, nephew. And like that. Both are under the influence of Yoga Maya. We cannot say that one is more real than the other. The Yoga Maya is supreme. Yoga Maya is supreme. Everyone comes under Yoga Maya. Radha, Krishna, even Lord Chaitanya, everyone comes under Yoga Maya.
Maharaj said that the Krishna gave knowledge to his devotees. So why Srimad-Bhagavatam and Matrimony? Prabhupada said that he is not a pure devotee, he is a mixed devotee. So why Uddhava told Vidura to approach Maitreya Rishi for knowledge?
Because he was older and he was qualified to speak. It was a question of etiquette. Now today's subject is surrender, but I think you should have read the verses, and we know the principle of surrender, at least in theory, otherwise we wouldn't be here. So actually everything that we've been reading is culminating in surrender. But when we surrender, then we actually begin the practice of devotional service. So from next week, we'll actually start the discussion of the practice of devotional service. It took us 2 weeks to come to the point of surrender. And now that we're beginning the practice on Monday, within the next 2 weeks, we are going to go all the way from sadhana bhakti, bhajana kriya, all the way to prema, bhakti, and mahabhava. So now that we've developed firm faith and are ready, have come to the point of surrender, we can actually begin the process and go very quickly. So if there are any questions about surrender, we don't have any more time. But
I was wondering why I should think about faith. And if someone has faith, but then there's bad association, means it bad association or offensive that you use your faith.
Yes, this then, is.
Then that same degree of faith is very hard to get again. Once having,
Very good question. Very good question. People surrender, then something happens, and they don't want to surrender anymore, or at least not to the same extent as before. And one cause is what you said, bad association. In other words, he has some tendency towards karma or jnana or something. And by associating with karmis or jnanis or mixed devotees, his own tendency towards karma or jnana can become more prominent than his tendency for devotional service. So that's why we have to be careful about associating with non-devotees. Because non-devotees will either be karmis or jnanis or mixed devotees. And if we associate with them and we're not strong, then we can be influenced by them. And then consider karma to be more important or jnana to be more important or whatever. Then we give up devotional service, or devotional service becomes secondary to the other activities. Or like you said, we may commit offenses. By committing offenses also, material desires become very prominent, and then it has the same effect, that to fulfill the material desires, we engage in some other activity besides devotional service, and we leave devotional service. Our devotional service becomes secondary compared to the other activities. Now, as far as reviving the same degree of faith, there could be problems. Because Srila Prabhupada said that once someone leaves and then again comes back, it's hard for him to regain the same position he had before he left. But it is possible, but it will take a lot of effort. In Madhurya Kandambani, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur discusses the effects of offenses. That by the effect of offenses, one can become so weak that he practically doesn't have the strength to engage in devotional activities. And even if he engages in them, he's so weak, he can't get the same benefit from them. So he's compared to the person who is wasted by some terrible disease. He cannot eat. He has no appetite. And even if he does eat, he can't get the full nourishment. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says he should continue. And even though he doesn't have much appetite, but if he keeps eating, and even if he doesn't get the full benefit, but he'll get some benefit. And gradually, by continued efforts over a long period of time, he'll gradually regain his strength. And then when he regains his strength, he'll have full appetite and he'll get the full benefit from the food. So it is possible, but it, just like in ordinary diseases, if you suffer a relapse, usually it's harder to recover from the relapse than from the original disease. I know myself, I had jaundice, and with some difficulty I recovered. But then we had a big feast at Mr. Seti's house and I got a relapse. And then it was much harder to recover, much harder to recover. So we should be careful. But still, it's possible. But we have to be very persistent in our effort to regain our position. Okay, so have a nice weekend.
Is there a time on Sunday?